better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is going to bring back a College World Series title to Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We're getting closer and closer by the day. I know there's a lot of excitement that's ramped up. Does the NFL preseason not do it for you? There's a lot of games last night.
There was 10 games yesterday or last night. Had someone text me, you know, Fox and NBC affiliates, depending on if you got direct, I got DirecTV, yeah. Can't get those. NFL Network can only show one. And someone would say, hey, there's all these games and you can't watch any of them. You know, I think there was like one game on TV last night you could watch depending on who your provider is, but the NFL Network usually does a pretty good job of replaying a lot of those preseason games. So
yeah,
I don't get real fired up. Some do. Usually it's your fantasy football player that's really fired up about preseason because they're trying to figure out their draft that's coming up. But I'm not a big NFL preseason guy.
I'm a big first drive NFL preseason guy. That's what I am. I like to watch the first drive.
Yeah, okay.
Where you actually have the starters in. Or you actually have maybe the quarterback of the future in for the first time, kind of like what you did with a Kyler Murray, if you will. I like watching that. And then after that, I don't care. So there were times last night, the games that I actually had on, because I have Cox on with my television plan. So I get to watch a few more games, but it was literally, if I saw that they were about to start, I would watch the first drive for both teams and move on.
Well, this deal, we've been talking about it. You know, my mom had dinner with my mom last night. She was talking about, she's upset with it, about ready to get rid of DirecTV because she's missed The Voice, and she has two shows she watched, The Voice and something else. I don't know. And she's all upset about that. So I tell you, the thing that's going to push this thing past will drive people, executives, to have their arm bent so far behind their back they say, uncle, is football.
Yeah.
Football is the revenue driver with DirecTV and with Nexstar in this case, who is the one in dispute in our area. That's the reason people, when advertisers start saying I'm out because people can't watch or people can't watch and the ratings go in the toilet, football is the holdup here.
It's almost like people watch football and watch it and are very passionate about it, and if they don't get it, they become irate and things happen.
There are so many ways to get your favorite programs anymore. Commercial free, by the way, on streaming TV. If you miss your show, it's not a big deal. Everybody DVRs stuff anyway, other than about three things. Live sporting events.
Yep.
How many times do you go back and watch? I mean, I DVR'd games all the time. But how many times do you actually go back and watch the thing? And then when you do, I mean, it's just not the same.
Yeah,
we are not programmed to watch in tape delay mode games of consequence, particularly in football. Just not going to do it. We have to watch them live. That's just, I don't know why it is that way. We'll watch our favorite sitcom. We'll binge watch shows on Netflix. But we never do that with sports because we can't with Twitter and social media. We know too much about what's going on in advance. So we'll watch sports, breaking news, and severe weather coverage. That's about it.
Yep.
Anymore. And I think that's the way most of us are wired and programmed now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you mentioned the streaming services.
So that's where the money's at, is what I'm saying.
Right. And yeah. When you mentioned the streaming services and just where people are at with those, I mean, it's before when you'd have these disagreements or these problems that would cause channels for no longer to be available for a certain period of time, protests, whatever it is, that, you know, there wasn't really an option. You just had to hold out. But now there are all these options that a lot of people are leaving to go to these other streaming services. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm with you on that.
21 days till we get this thing kicked off from tomorrow. So another big scrimmage, I guess, coming, the first big scrimmage coming up this weekend. That we don't get to see, but we'll get to hear about in a filtered fashion. So,
do you think if something was bad in that scrimmage, if the quarterbacks looked bad, or if the offensive line looked bad, do you think Chad Morris would actually say, guys, it was really bad today?
You know, Houston Nutt used to have this, you could tell it every camp. There was going to be I remember several Saturdays across the years. There's always that one Saturday or there was one or two practices where he would come into the media and he was talking to the team, but what he was saying was he'd come in and just rip his team. We played horrible. We practiced horrible today. We weren't focused. We didn't take care of the ball. And a lot of his practices were open, and we would see a lot of what he's talking about. And then there would occasionally be a practice where it really didn't look that bad to the untrained eye, but he'd still come in once or twice at camp, and it's like he was trying to get their attention. Even though things may have went okay, he would still come in and rip the team the way Houston could rip a team, saying, hey, this ain't good, you know. We got to get our focus. We got to get our mind on our business. All those cliches that he used. But so I wonder if Chad Morris has a little of that in him, because I hear a little bit of Houston nut in the way he goes about his business, that even though the team starts to perform, he'll bring him back to earth, add some gravity to the situation. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think that with somebody like Chad Morris and just knowing his personality so far that we've seen him in just the, I guess, technically year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been since he was actually officially hired. Just since seeing that, you can tell that it's going to take a lot for him to come out and really take a strong stance in a negative way towards his team. You saw it last year. What was it after the Mississippi State game? No. Completely and totally unacceptable. That was really the most we've ever seen from Chad Morris, is him coming out and saying, this ain't happening. This was awful. This was terrible. I'm not saying that he doesn't ever have his criticisms, but he does it in such a way to where you don't say, oh, man, he must, that practice must have been rough. He must have screamed at him. It's just not his personality. It's not who he is. So, you know, since we just had that last year, I'm just curious to see if this year, if this fall camp, does any of that change? Does he end up maybe using the media a little bit, using those press conferences to maybe get their attention, maybe call them out a little bit? Because since we can't watch him, we don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We have to just trust his judgment, trust what he's telling us.
Yeah.
So it's all about controlling that message.
Yeah, so I think we'll get to see some more before the end rolls up. He wants to see what this team is like, because what he doesn't want is the message out there that, well, this team is terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good message.
I think he wants to see how terrible or how good, or he wants to get his eyes on them in a scrimmage environment. You know, so he hadn't seen anything since spring, got a lot of new players out there, so I don't know. When you got a young team, there's a lot of possibilities for mistakes, for behavior, for all sorts of things to happen. And again, we go back to yesterday's conversation about paranoia with coaches. It's just in their DNA, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're worried about something getting out. And they can talk about Portland State and one game at a time and yada, yada, all they want. But they're getting ready for Ole Miss out there. They may not say it, but that's what's going on.
They better be. I'm sorry. They better be.
I'd be disappointed if they're not.
Yeah. If they really are taking it,
I don't expect them to publicly say that.
Yeah.
But if they're not out there really trying to get ready for Ole Miss right now, shame on you.
I would automatically say, all right, it's going to be a 3-win season, boys.
If all of this effort is truly going in to Portland State, we got the wrong deal going on up there.
Because Portland State, nothing against the mighty, whatever their mascot is, because it's not even important enough for me to remember, but Arkansas should beat Portland State in their sleep. They should have beat them with their second string. They should. Not saying they will, just saying they should. And you have to be that confident in yourself and in your team. And you better have enough talent for that.
But isn't it a shame the program's gotten to the point where you said they should, and I think they will, is basically what you were saying. You can't give 1,000% guarantee.
Well, no, I can't give 1,000% guarantee.
They could win with their second string.
Lost to North Texas last year at home. Got blown out.
Well, this team's not as good as North Texas.
No, that's why I'm just saying. Because if anything that I have learned from the Arkansas Razorback football team is that, you know what? It can always get worse. That is what I've learned from the Razorback football team. Yeah. You think it can't get worse, but it can get worse. But you're hoping that they are, of course, trying to get ready for game one. Of course, treating it like it's a serious game, because it is one of your games on your radar. You're hoping for that. But what you're also hoping for is that it's like, hey, if we just do a run-of-the-mill practice and if we're preparing for Ole Miss, that game, we can still be good enough and still have enough focus to win that game against Portland State. Because if Ole Miss is a better team than Portland State. So if you're good enough to prepare against Ole Miss, you're good enough to prepare against Portland State. That's my point. You should have it. You should just be able
to
have it that
way. If you put a game plan in to stop Portland State and to score on Portland State, if you put the game plan in for Ole Miss to stop them and to work on them, That should be good enough to beat Portland.
That's what I'm
State.
Saying. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't need, you know, anyway. I hope that's what they're up there working on. I hope that's what tomorrow is all about. Not all this Portland State business.
Yeah.
And then, I'm willing to look past Portland State.
Do they get prepared for Colorado State, though?
So, they should have beat them.
I know, but I'm saying, do they not look ahead to Texas A&M? Oh, do they make after Ole Miss?
Well, I mean, Ole Miss is... No, Colorado State's... you got to respect them.
They beat you last year. Yeah, because and that's,
I'm just saying, Portland State's on a different level than the other non-conference teams.
It's like East Tennessee or East Illinois State or Eastern Illinois last year. I mean,
Colorado State's probably the toughest of the non-conference games, right?
Yeah.
Portland State would be the easiest?
Probably. I don't know, man. Those Hilltoppers. With Ty Story, a quarterback.
He's not going to be the starting quarterback is what I'm reading.
Yeah. Well, you never know, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, motivation and such getting thrown in there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the most Arkansas thing ever, though, to lose to Western Kentucky?
That's what does that tell you, though? Your starting quarterback last year can't even be the starting quarterback at Western Kentucky or a lock. It'd be interesting to see who wins that job coming out of that camp.
That's where I rest my laurels, is just saying, okay, that's how bad the quarterback situation was, where your best quarterback on the team last year can't even start at Western Kentucky.
That's some of the reports being read.
Yeah, so that's what you're hoping for, that it's going to be better because
of
that.
That's who you had as a starter last year.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
People just texting us, calling us, tweeting at us, Facebook messaging us, everything.
High demand.
It's been in high demand. They're saying, when is Clay Henry going to come back on the show? And I tell you now, folks, it's right now. So without further ado, let's get the man in.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Let's welcome in the Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. Clay, I know you love your intro. We all love your intro. We're glad to have you back on the show, man. How you doing?
I'm dancing.
You're dancing.
I'm dancing.
See, this
just ruined it.
See, no, hold on a second. Now, this is why we need to have live stream where Clay's at over right there. Because if he's over there dancing,
he'll want to be paid extra to be on video.
I've got my John Cena. I've got my gym shorts on. My chest is oiled down.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Flexing. I'm like in the ring, and I'm saying, come on, where are the knuckleheads?
Oh, see,
Bring them on. Bring on the knuckleheads. And John, you are the knucklehead.
Well, I know that you're getting the 60-year-old women hot and heavy over here that are listening to our show right now, Clay.
The problem is he did oil his chest, but he didn't shave it first. That's the problem with Clay. I mean, that's the issue we have.
Oh, you got to shave it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact. Okay, the fact I'll never be able to unhear that sentence that we just discussed.
He's got his sleeveless tank top on there. Yeah. So his wife beat her on. It looks great. So.
Well, Clay, it's good to have you on. Man, yeah. As always,
he's ready to
the
go.
Good
to,
news
he's
is
he's ready to go to an LSU baseball.
Hey, I just
game.
So you know, yeah, my wife's already gone. She's got a flea market today over the Norfolk Community Center, and she's already gone. So I can dance around doing this stuff, and she won't say go to your corner or worse.
Well, that's good, and obviously there's
Gene N is my filter. Yeah, and I mean it gets filtered some. You know, she can't listen. I don't think where she's at right now, so I'm safe.
All right, well, good. Well, we'll try to be able to do our best job to filter you a little bit this morning. But there's a lot of things we want to get to with you, obviously, Clay. And first off, I want to start with something that we discussed yesterday. And we'll get into the defensive backs here in a second because I know you wanted to discuss that as well. But the 2020 football schedule was released for the University of Arkansas. And, you know, it was kind of an odd one, mainly because of a few things. Like, for instance, having Mississippi State as your first SEC game in September. Don't really see that very often. But also not seeing a game in Little Rock for the first time since, what was it, 1931, yeah. I think is what
well,
it was.
We knew this was coming.
Right, we knew this was coming, but just to actually, you know, see it on the schedule is kind of a weird thing. What did you make of the 2020 schedule for Arkansas?
Well, you know, it's going to be fun when I get ready to do the travel for next year. I'm going to have these two lines back-to-back. It's at Starkville South Bend. And I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to think, okay, those are the opposite ends of the spectrum of the world. I mean, you know, Starkville is really, it's a name, you know, it's an Indian, old Indian name for trailer park. And, you know, South Bend is, you know, that was, for years and years, that was the mecca of college football. I mean, you know, it's, I've wanted to go in that, I've always wanted not to go to Starkville, but wanted to go to South Bend, and I'm going to do it in back-to-back. So it's, you know,
you've never been there.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like covering the dirt tracks one Friday, and then on Sunday you're at Talladega, and you know, you just got to pinch yourself and say, well, I got to do the dirt track, because if I don't, I won't get to go to Talladega. I mean, the newspaper won't send me. So there was one time I covered the Masters one weekend, and the next weekend I covered the dirt track races at the Tulsa Speedway. So I'm sitting around in the press box. Hey, any of you guys, you know, I'm the only sports guy there, sports writer. I mean, all the people that are there on Friday night at the dirt track, says, any of you guys went to the Masters last week?
Not like, many hands.
What is that?
Yeah.
No, they were like, what is that? Yeah. And I had my little Masters, you know, little yellow golf shirt with a little green, you know, whatever that logo is. And they didn't draw any stares. Nobody said, hey, nice shirt. Or it was like, just didn't even register. I'm excited about that schedule, and it couldn't be any better. And, you know, fortunately, Arkansas should have more good players on their team at that point next year, and be able to stand on the field talent-wise in really both places, because Mississippi State has passed them in talent. And maybe that's going to flip around a little bit, you know, since Mullen's gone down there and he's at Florida. I mean, it's, you know, they've dominated the line of scrimmage, and I think that's where Arkansas is headed, where they can hold their own on the line of scrimmage after, you know, seeing a little bit of the talent this week in the practices that I saw.
Clay, a couple things that stands out. We mentioned Notre Dame and Starkville back-to-back weeks, and then you play A&M and Arlington. There's only one game in the state of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and that's the opener against Kent State in the month of September. You play Bama and LSU back-to-back in October the 10th and the 17th before an open date, which creates a stretch or starts a stretch with Tennessee, Auburn, and Ole Miss. So there's a couple of brutal stretches in this schedule next year as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And then you've got a nice, you know, some nice home games when you finally get in there. You're going to have, you know, what is it, Alabama and LSU coming to Fayetteville there.
Right.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's the Arkansas schedule is always weird because of the two constants that make Arkansas unique. And that's, you go to Arlington every year to play Texas A&M, and then you've got those occasional games in Little Rock, and it just creates a nightmare as far as how do you do it, what is the league. You know, the back to the Mississippi State game, it's the SEC is just at a quandary on how to appease the TV people and get enough games so that there is excitement every week, you know, from the SEC network to CBS to ESPN, that they've got enough games to where they're not showing Arkansas and Coastal Carolina in some, you know, weird slot that they don't want. I mean, that one's got to be 11 o'clock, right? But it's, you know, I think that when I look at all of these SEC schedules, what I think's coming is one more SEC game. I think it's going to come to that. And I understand the coaches not wanting to do it, you know, play nine conference games, but it sure looks like that's where it's going to head. And then they'll have enough games every week, and nobody will be complaining about the SEC schedule.
I know we're going to get into that conversation. I want to ask you this specifically about the schedule in Arkansas, though. You know, we're talking about Arkansas trying to get to bowl eligibility this year. I'm looking at next year's schedule and thinking about this year's schedule, and I'm wondering if this year's schedule isn't an easier path to six wins. I mean, I'm looking at next year's schedule, and I'm wondering where five might be. Honestly, I mean, with Notre Dame coming and the tougher non-conference, it's not going to be easy next year to get to six.
No, and just remind yourself of this. They're going to play next year's schedule with next year's team. And I think that you're going to start to see a really big difference in year three with what they have as far as, you know, they've got 52 freshmen on the roster this year, and it will flip around where you're going to start to have some juniors, and especially in the offensive and defensive line. Well, I don't know about the defensive line. They're all freshmen right now, freshmen or seniors, but it's, you're going to have the talent in the defense and on offense in the lines to go toe to toe. And it looks like skill position players. And I'm pleased with what I've seen this fall and both in the spring of the John Chavis defense, especially in the secondary. Now, secondary for Arkansas, you could not play defense the last 3 or 4 years. You could not. And I can remember sitting down with Paul Rhodes, and, you know, he's explaining to me they're going to the, you know, to the 3-4. They're doing this, and, you know, we've got these players. And I said, do you have guys to play in space? He goes, well, no. And I said, well, coach, would it matter if you're in the 5-2, the 4-3, the whatever scheme you were in, three nickels? He says, no. And, you know, he didn't really want to expound on that, but he was really quick to admit that my assessment of their defensive speed in the secondary wasn't what you need to play against spread teams. You just couldn't do it. But that's changing. But it's just remember that schedule is not going to be played with last year's team. And that's all you have to go on is what we saw that last year. Well, what about that schedule in 2020? Oh, boy. So just tell yourself that it's going to be a new and improved Arkansas team with Chad Morris. He's got all feet on the ground. John Chavis has got, you know, they're breathing fire over their old defense, and they can get some stops. And, yeah, let's go to South Bend and have some fun. Nobody will see it coming, right? I mean, when the Razorbacks roll in, and, they start taking names, and, you know, and they're, a fire-breathing SEC team, which we haven't seen with Razorbacks for a while. That'll be worth going to South Bend to see.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
When we were discussing the defense and how the recruiting is improving on both sides of the ball, and how specifically the defense, especially with Steve Caldwell, has done a really good job of recruiting guys up front, it seems like the talent is starting to come together, but it's a matter of when does it come together, because both sides of the ball need to improve dramatically. If you looked at the stats last year, it looked like both sides of the ball were some of the last teams in the SEC, but it's a matter of, okay, who gets there first? Who gets to the point to where they are a competent, successful SEC offense or defense? Which side of the ball gets there first?
Yeah, I think it'll be defense. And I think defense is – you're seeing the results of that. We heard about it all spring. Unfortunately, we didn't see a lot of it. But, you know, there's starting to be some playmakers on defense. And I want to tell you, guys, everybody talks about – defensive ends and all that, but the guy that excites me the most is Jalen Catalon, and he's got that it factor. Everybody talks about it. I mean, he was just an incredible high school player of the year in Texas. Just soak that one in for a little bit. If he was the top player voted by the coaches as a junior, offered before he'd played any high school games by almost every program in the country. And then you talk about the character and then intangibles and the way he works and his talent. But just think Honey Badger. When he played defense, he played safety. He didn't play nickel. I think he's going to play safety and nickel. I mean, it's, if they get the right guys at safety, then he might be playing nickel. But that's the guy that just gets his hands in everything and messes it up. And, I mean, he sees the ball, knows where it's coming, gets there, and he causes fumbles, tips, everything. And the turnovers just come. And that's what the Honey Badger did. You remember in that great LSU defense. And he's the guy that just understands what's happening. He's a quarterback. He's playing nickel, and he reads the eyes. But there's speed around him at defensive end. The corners are better. That's the guy that ends up mucking it all up. But he's made some plays, make one every day in practice so far. That's not a coincidence. He's that kind of a dude. And if his knee is right and everybody says it is, and then you flipped on the other side's a guy like Treylon Burks, those were the two that I asked about with Morris. I mean, there's a bunch of questions out there, this, that. I was like, man, are those guys too healthy? Yeah, they are, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I just like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. And they're freshmen, but they're dudes now. And, I mean, you know what that means. But I think the defense will get there first, and that's always the case. It's going to take longer for these wide receivers to get on, the same page and read those option routes right. They're talented, but it'll come. And I think the quarterback room is finally right. Whether it's Ben Hicks, Nick Starkle this year, KJ Jefferson next year, then you add Chandler Morris, and I think they'll be more and more and more. I think they can recruit quarterbacks. This is not just a happenstance deal that they flushed the last set of quarterbacks and they've got these guys and they're experienced, they're talented. I think I talked to y'all Monday and we kind of went through what the Hummer is, what the guy that throws the, maybe that was with Phil on Wednesday. You guys ever been on the sideline and heard a Ryan Mallett Hummer? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's you're down there and it goes by and you go, whoa, I heard that one. I said, I don't want to catch it because it'd break my fingers. Joe Ferguson threw a Hummer. It's the same thing if you're on the baseball field and you're there and Isaiah Campbell or Ryan Stanek, they throw one of those high heaters or Trevin Stephan. You lean back and it's like, whoa, it just changes everything. And that's what Nick Starkle has.
Yeah. You've been really big on this incoming group of freshman defensive linemen. And obviously you got the four seniors across the defensive line this year for Arkansas. We were talking in the last hour before you joined us about the defensive line making the secondary better. How much can these freshmen that are coming in push these guys? How much playing time can they get? And how good can this group of seniors be on a level with the other SEC teams? Yeah, obviously, there's going to be a rotation, but that defensive line is going to help that secondary a lot if they play good.
Yeah, and you've got a bunch of seniors playing the defensive line. You've got Sosa Ageem, you've got T.J. Smith, and then Abe. you got Jamario Bell, Dorian Gerald. I'm forgetting the other.
Gabe Richardson.
And those guys are different. They're a year into it, but you've got the seniors. Now, here's the beauty of what's going on. You got those guys, and if they don't get after it, I'm talking about those three seniors, guess what's going to happen? Mateo Soli, Eric Gregory, Colin Clay, there's one more, Zach Williams. Those guys they've got the wheels. I mean, and Soli, when you talk about wheels, he's a 4-4 guy. He's what they had on the outside at Texas A&M. They line up in that 3-point stance, and they say, we're coming to a point, and I can get there in 1.5 seconds. And you better get rid of the ball because I'm hitting you. And, his dad, Junior, was his high school position coach. Steve Caldwell said every single thing that they've given Mateo Soli, whether it be in the weight room, in practice, he's done it all. There was no surprises. He knew everything and just nodded his head as a coach, I got that. And it's been an amazing thing to watch. He's gained weight. His body is maturing. But he looks like a wide receiver in the way he plays. I mean, it's a different level. And he is going to play. And you know, Colin Clay is, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 275. You know, just like Steve said, he said, I went over to Oklahoma City with my wife, and she said, that number, you know, that number 71, I don't know what his number is. She said, that's the one we're looking for, right? And he says, yep. Everybody in the world can pick him out, and you just did. So, you know, it's like you go out to practice, you can pick him out. You can see him. It's not, you know, I think, Ty, even you would be able to tell which one of those guys are players.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it, man.
I mean, I'm here to help.
Yeah, well, Clay, I want to ask you this, and I always like looking at what-if scenarios, especially when it comes to this point in time in the season, because that's pretty much what we're playing, but what if that defense doesn't take that next step this year? What if that defense is not better next year? Where do they go from here? Where's kind of the source of what the problem would be? Would it be more on the coaches that make changes there? Is it about the players? Is it about the philosophy, the scheme? Because, you know, it's one thing to say this player looks good, that player looks good, but it's another thing that once you get an SEC play to actually start making stops, if they don't start improving, what do they do from there? What can they do?
Gosh. I mean, like, we're going to do the sky's falling for 2 years from now already?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying from 2 years from now. I'm saying this season, from last year, if they don't improve dramatically from last year to this year.
I didn't say they were going to make dramatic improvement. It's going to be – I sit here and talked about 2020, didn't I, when they would be loaded up. I didn't say this year. But they will be better this year. They're going to be capable of winning 5 or 6 games. And just like all the players are told, said, you know, we're going to be in some fourth quarters this year that we weren't last year. And they're going to beat some teams they shouldn't beat. Now, are they going to beat them all? Probably not. But it's, you know, sometimes when it happens a year early.
Yeah.
So I, you know, but is it going to be 8 this year? I don't think so, guys.
No.
I mean, I don't think that's what I'm saying, but I'm encouraged. I'm positive. I have good vibes about where they're going and what they're doing. And more than anything else, I look and I'm, you know, behind the scenes a lot, you know, maybe more than you guys. And I see the structure that's built for recruiting, the machine. And I talk to the people that are auxiliary, that help, you know, the people that participate in putting the food out for the meals. And they see the difference between how a recruiting weekend was and how it is now, how Chad Morris operates, how the assistant coaches operate. So in the past, you know, coaches are meeting players as they come in. And they didn't know who they were, some of them. You know, like maybe the position coach did. They come in now, so the whole staff has been around a player 3, 4, 5 times, either on recruiting trips to go see them or in unofficial visits when they come here. If you track one guy, it's like, okay, I'm going to come for this, and this is not an official. And then I'm going to come for this trip. It's not an official. And then I'm going to come for this trip. And then you get 6 months in, and he's a junior. He's already been up here 3, 4 times, and they've been to see him. And they, you know, you're around. And then when a guy comes in, and it's coach after coach, the player just strides to him. You know, Coach Stepp, I mean, I'm so glad to see you. How's your wife? And calls him by now. How's your daughters? And you know, oh, they know each other. This is a relationship.
Yep.
It is like family. So when that's going on, that's when I've got the vibes of it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Well, it's happening now.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Wayne is in Fort Smith. He's been patiently holding. What's going on, Wayne?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my man.
Hey, first of all, I wanted to see if we could do a hog call over the air, and then I wanted to ask Clay a couple questions.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Let's do a hog call together, man. What do you think?
We got to save it for the one hog call that's coming up on the 30th, right? That's when we all do it together.
It's a pre-hog call, man. It's going to bring us good vibes for the season.
All right, well, you lead it, man. You lead it.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Big Sully! Big Sully! Big Sully! Razorbacks! All right, guys, go Hogs! Yes, sir. Thanks. Hey, I want to ask Clay. Clay, do you think there's going to be a linebacker on this year's team that hadn't been talked about that's going to end up getting talked about through the season by stepping up? Yeah. My second question is, Clay, I heard you mention that Chandler Morris or that this Razorback staff could commit or could can recruit quarterbacks. I was wondering with the possible addition of Chandler Morris next year, don't you think that could possibly hurt the recruitment of quarterbacks? Because who wants to come up there and not only compete against an elite quarterback, but the elite quarterback that just so happens to be the head coach's son? I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks a lot. Happy Friday. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Wayne.
It's all you, Clay.
Well, quarterbacks keep coming, and that's what happens. And, you know, it's like K.J. Jefferson was already signed. Chandler Morris didn't care. And it will – I mean, they keep coming. And it's about the relationship. And I think Joe Craddock is a dynamite recruiter. And I think they'll – you know, I think they will keep – you'll stack them up. And, you know, there's some of them that, you know, that shy away from, you know, when they look at – but, you know, you're going to see – two quarterbacks fall off the row in the next 2 years. I mean, you know, Ben Hicks is gone after this year. Nick Starkle's gone after next year. So I think that, you know, they'll look and they say, well, it's just, you know, you've got John Stephen Jones, you've got KJ Jefferson, and most of them understand that first year that they're not going to do much. Second year, you know, maybe not do a whole lot. And so they say, well, my third year, then there's going to start to be a little void there. And, yeah, I don't worry about that too much. And, yeah, the linebacker that I think that you might hear of this year that, you know, just kind of saw little glimpses of, you know, I mean, Bumper Pool played a lot last year instead of Dre Greenlaw, but I think Grant Morgan is a guy that, you know, is a little undersized, a little under height, but he's just like his brother Drew, and that he's going to play bigger than he is. And he is a delight to be around and watch make plays. And he understands it. He's smart and is a guy that I think is a playmaker and will do well. And then Hayden Henry is, you know, that if there's a guy that you say, well, what's wrong with Gio LaFrance? I mean, why? I mean, this is a guy that's just the opposite, understands every single thing. You know, we'll make contact. We'll make tackles. And, I mean, he's a Henry. Now, that's a different family than mine. But when I say he's a Henry, I know his dad, you know, two brothers. And this is, you know, this one is just like the rest. And he will be on the field at some point.
What about the Chandler Morris angle that also what Wayne asked
about?
Well,
I just said it. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, that's the first thing I said. You know, it doesn't, they do not shy away. The good ones, it stacks up. And I mean, I can remember, you know, Frank recruiting in one class, you know, Scott Bull, Mike Kirkland, and Mark Miller, all three of them. Bobby Proctor, who's a friend of mine, was the quarterback coach at Vanderbilt at the time, and he was rolling through East Arkansas, and he, wherever Arkansas would go recruiting, he'd go next. I mean, he'd go to Augustus, see Mark Miller, then he'd go to Jonesboro to see Scott Bull, and he's like, that guy's coming to Arkansas. Okay, well, I'm going to get this one. Well, they all three went, and, you know, Joe Ferguson was already there, and it is, you got to find the right guy, and you can stack them up if you can recruit. Now, you know, sometimes when they get there that, you know, maybe they fall out, but they transfer, you know, that's the graduate transfer portal deal now. I don't worry about this staff running out of quarterbacks because I think that's so much of what they do and that they will continue in every class have a quarterback, and they're just going to keep rolling them in, keep rolling them in. And I think it's going to be, you know, some flux. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be guys coming and going, but they'll go find two more, or they'll find three more if they need to. They'll find a graduate transfer. They found two in what, 3 months? I mean, to me, that was amazing that they got both Ben Hicks and Nick Starkel that close together. You know, we know they were close on Kelly Bryant. So it ain't going to stop. I mean, they're going to keep finding quarterbacks.
Well, and you bring up that what I was going to mention about Chandler Morris is that obviously he's a guy, and KJ Jefferson's a guy that's on campus right now. So they're going to keep recruiting that way. But it's almost getting to the point that way college football is set up, that if you don't like your quarterback situation, or if you're unable to get those big-time freshman quarterbacks in because they don't want to have to compete for the job against anybody else, they want to be the starter, you can go into the transfer portal, because every single year there's going to be an elite quarterback coming out of that transfer portal. In a lot of cases, a grad transfer, and even in a lot of cases, they'll be granted a waiver just because they're a quarterback. It's like if you're any coach, and in this case, Chad Morris, if the quarterback situation is something that needs help, it's almost like you don't even need to necessarily go out and recruit them. You'd like to do that, but you can also pretty much guarantee that there's going to be some quality guys at the end of the year that didn't like their situation at a particular school.
John, that was good, and I'm glad you came back with a little more, you know, something after the question you just asked, because I thought I'd covered it before. And I had sent, while you were talking a little while ago, a little text to Tommy. Are there any show host in the transfer portal, because we got to get rid of this one?
Well, I'm glad that I could redeem myself in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't press send. I mean, it's like, you know, Herm Edwards, don't press send, so I didn't. I didn't send it, right, Tommy?
No, I didn't get it.
Yeah, but it's still queued up, so yeah. You better do well in the next 45 minutes.
But I think there is an angle, though, that fans are looking at, and I don't. And you mentioned, you know, the great ones don't care. They'll really want to be there with the coach's son. And that, I think that's something that other schools will certainly, you know, throw that jab in there when they're recruiting against Arkansas in a particular player. And that's something that's got to be in the back of the mind of someone if it's considering Arkansas as a quarterback, knowing that, hey, I've got to go in there and compete in the same quarterback room with the head coach's son. That's got to be in your mind if you're considering Arkansas as a high school junior or senior right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, I mean, it's – I think it'll take care of itself, though. I mean, you're going to know pretty quick. And, you know, I think he can play, though, guys. I mean, I think he's got the release. And everybody that's seen him, he's got some wheels. And he's not big. He's not any taller than Chad. He's maybe, you know, just a touch under 6 foot. But, you know, you go back to, you know, who has committable offers to the top schools in the country? He had them. I mean, and so that's a good get. I'm talking about Chandler Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and with the way that the quarterbacks, or at least the type of quarterbacks that they're trying to recruit to, I mean, he fit the mold. And I don't want to say that this is like you had to get him or else you would have been failing at the quarterback position. But we talked about it when he hadn't yet to commit, that if you were unable to get your own son, who's an elite quarterback, who had offers to Auburn and Clemson, it would just be a bad look. I'm not saying it would make or break his success at Arkansas, but it would just look weird that it's like, hold on a second, he's good enough to play at those schools, but he's not good enough to play for his own dad. So that's where it really gets into a precarious situation, to where you're either going to – it's a lose-lose situation in some people's eyes that way too.
Hey, John, we're talking about bad looks right now. I think I know what the product for your hair is, and I would change.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told that you use Big Sexy Hair as your product. Is it true?
Who you been talking to?
Clay has sources.
His sauces are really coming in handy here.
Clay's sources are good.
Is that right? What's it called?
It is called Big Sexy Hair.
Oh,
for wow. Big Sexy Man.
Clay.
Well, let me just tell you this.
You got eyes and ears everywhere.
Chandler Morris, that's a good look. What you got going on, that's a bad look.
Well, you know, Clay, I just feel like as long as I have hair, or at least a little bit of it, I got to do something with it before I get to that.
If I had hair, I'd do more with it than you do.
You would.
Wow.
So you would use Big Sexy Hair then, and with your product then. Well, I'll tell you what, Clay, if you need that Big Sexy Hair product, I will more than happy loan it to you. It makes a difference. It really does.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast?
check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.